Thank you, Pat. Kids, you're welcome to head downstairs for junior church with Mary and Sheila if you'd like to. If not, if you're excited to listen to me, you're welcome to stay. Well, you don't have to look very far in our community that you live in, that I live in, the surrounding area here. You don't have to look very far to realize that there is an overwhelming concentration of very broken and very hurting people and broken and hurting families in our area. There's rampant drug abuse. There's drug dealers all over Knox County, Morrow County, Richland County. People living less than what God intended them to be. In order to make a greater community, it really is going to take greater churches impacting the community that we live in. And in order to have greater churches, they need to be full of greater Christians. And to have greater Christians and greater churches, we're going to need greater grace from God. I think I got enough graders in there to get your attention. This morning I want to talk about, though, building a greater church for our community and for the Lord's benefit. And it all starts with us as individuals in the church to become greater Christians, developing a greater church. And I want to use James chapter 4, starting in verse 6 as our text this morning. And I want to talk about three very serious areas of our lives that not only affects our spiritual life and not only affects our life with God, but very much should affect our community and the way people see God and the way people come to know God and the way people come to worship God. So James chapter 4, starting in verse 6, and then I'll do some explaining. Says, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The very first thing we need to do in order for the greater grace that empowers us is to engage in three things here that the text talks about. And the very first one, as you see in verse 7 there at the very beginning, is we as individual church members, we need to step down. What I mean by stepping down is we need to step down from our position as CEO of your life. If you are the chief executive officer of your life, you make all the decisions, you are never going to grow as a Christian, you are never going to thrive as a Christian, and you will never be the disciple that Jesus wants you to be. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves. That is a huge word there at the beginning. Submit. Submit yourselves then to God. It's the exact same word, submit, when God asks for wives to submit to their husbands. This is a huge word. Submit yourselves then to God. You will never be as effective as a Christian until you settle the lordship issue in your life. When you decided to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, did you truly do it? Do you wake up every morning and say, God, you are in charge, not me? With the things that come out of your mouth, the things that come out of your actions, the what you decide to do with your assets, your money, your vehicles, your whatever God blesses you with to do ministry, your gifts, your talents, the way you raise your family, the way you interact with your spouse, your friends, your Christian brothers and sisters. Who's making those decisions? You pay attention. If the word I comes out of your mouth a lot throughout the day, with your family, with your coworkers, with your church brothers and sisters, and you hear yourself saying, I like this, I want that, my opinion is this, I think we should do that, I think there's a CEO problem there, there's a leadership problem there in your life, if that's what you hear a lot coming out of you. or you pay attention to the things you do and the places you go? Are those your decisions? Or are you really truly taking Jesus' leadership and where you're going to go, what you're going to say, who you're going to interact with, how you're going to interact with them, who you're going to love, how you're going to love them? Are you taking that from God, from Jesus Christ, or are you still trying to micromanage every single thing that happens in your life? And it's so easy to get caught in that trap, because we so desperately want to be comfortable. We don't want to get hurt. We like to be careful. We live in a world where nobody trusts each other anymore. People hardly know their neighbors anymore. And I love this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, great Christian theologian. You will never be effective as a Christian until you settle the lordship issue. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Every person that Jesus has ever called to be his disciple, he has asked you to lay your life down for him. You start with the original 12. He said, come follow me. He didn't even give them time to go tell their families what they were going to do, go bury their dead, go take care of. He said, you come follow me. You drop everything and you're going to follow me. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your reputation. It might cost you friends. It might cost you family. But you become my disciple. I will give you a life, and I will give you a life to the fullest. And not only will I give you a life here on earth, I will give you eternal life with your Creator. But you've got to let me have control. You've got to let me take the lead on everything. How would our lives look different if we really took every instruction and every decision making from Jesus himself? What would you have me do in this situation, Lord, instead of having an instant reaction to whatever? I mean, we live in a world of social media today, and that's all you see on social media are instant reactions. Instant reactions to government policies. Instant reactions to who's doing what and who's not doing what. Who's hurting their family, who's helping their family. Who's helping the church, who's not doing something. You see instant reactions. You very rarely see. What would Jesus think? What would Jesus say? How would he react to that situation? How would he react to that law? How would he react to government? How would he react to this country, that country, this world? You watch Jesus. He was quiet a lot. But when he spoke the word of God, and it was truth, absolute truth. What do you think should be coming out of our mouths instead of instant opinions or instant reactions to things? Should probably be absolute truth that comes from God. We need to come to the realization as Christians, if we are going to truly build stronger, greater Christians to build a greater church, we as a whole and we as a collective need to come to the realization it is not all about you. We say that, and we sing that sometimes, and I wonder if we really mean it, because it is all about him. It is all about your Jesus, the one who loved you, created you, died for you, rose from the dead for you. It is all about him. Everything we do on Sunday morning is all about him. It has nothing to do with you. You are going to be blessed, I guarantee you. You are going to be blessed by his word. You are going to be blessed by fellowship of the believers. You are going to be blessed when you sit at the communion table. There's going to be blessings. But don't think for a second that it's all about you. It is all about him. When we worship this morning, our number one goal isn't to just, I mean, when Greg and Jonathan pick out songs, it's not, well, I hope that 90% of the church likes these songs we're picking out today. It's, I hope God is blessed by the worship of his people today. No matter what we're singing, no matter what we're talking about, no matter what communion table from Sunday after Sunday we're sitting at, are we blessing God? Are we honoring God in everything we do? When we take care of His building, when we take care of His people, when we're loving and taking care of the widows and the orphans, when we're serving our community, it's all about Him. It has nothing to do with your busy schedule, what you want to fit in, what you don't want to fit in. If God says go, by golly, you better go. If God says serve, you better serve. If God says love, forgive, offer grace, you better be offering grace in His name. It is all, if that's ever been a question or a confusion in your mind, everything we do at the Waterford Church of Christ, everything is for Him. Every decision that is made is for His benefit, not ours. Every life that is touched, every person who is loved, shown compassion, shown grace, shown help, shown benevolence, it is to His glory and for His benefit. We are His working hands, we are His working voice here on earth to love people in His name. We need to make a conscious decision daily, daily to submit your life to the rule of Jesus Christ. You don't just stand up one Sunday morning, get baptized, and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then everything's going to be perfect in your walk with God. You wake up every day, and you decide this morning, I am going to submit myself to the will of God. Just like if you are married, you choose. You wake up every morning, and you choose to love your spouse every day. Because your spouse is going to do things today that's going to make you not like them or even question your love for them. You choose to submit yourself to your spouse, to love your spouse. Same way goes with God. You wake every morning and say, I choose to submit myself to the will of God today. No matter what happened yesterday, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Today I will submit myself to the will of God. If I hear the Holy Spirit tugging on my heart to speak to somebody at Walmart that needs to be spoken to, I will speak. I won't care about my own reputation. I won't care if they think I'm crazy, whatever. If somebody needs love, if somebody needs benevolence, somebody needs compassion, I will go and I will be compassion for that person. Somebody needs a listener, I will go and listen. If we're going to have a greater church, if we're going to build a greater church to affect our community and impact our community, we have to be Christian individuals that will submit ourselves daily, daily to the rule of Jesus Christ, not ourselves. We all know Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'll remind you, as soon as I start reading it, you'll recognize it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That word sacrifice is a huge word there. You want to worship God in spirit, you will sacrifice maybe your plans today. You will sacrifice maybe your comfort today. You will sacrifice maybe your opinion or your want or your desire today for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of glorifying God. You will sacrifice where you decide to go, and you will go where God calls you to go. Many of you are called to come and worship and begin your week in the house of the Lord worshiping. God bless you. Now take that for the rest of the week. Where's God going to call me on Monday morning? Many of you, God's going to call you to work. What kind of impact are you going to be at work? Some of you are retired. What is God calling me to do in my retirement? How am I going to affect people? How am I going to be change in people's lives for the better so they get to know Jesus Christ? We need to step down is what God's calling us here in this text. Step down as being the CEO of our own life and submitting ourselves to the rule of Jesus Christ. Number two, if you look at the second part of verse 7 there, We're called to step up. To not just step down as CEO, but to step up. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are called to step up to the front lines and fight Satan with everything God gives us. You guys are promised, I am promised, the same exact power that Jesus possessed when he walked the earth. Same power he possessed on the cross is promised to us for the glorification of God. We are called to get on the front lines and fight spiritually. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 4 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I love that word, demolish. You personally, through the Holy Spirit, have the power to demolish the strongholds of evil in your home, in your community, or in your work, wherever you may find yourself. Refuse to be intimidated by Satan's activity. Let me tell you, he's fighting and he's winning the fight, especially here in America. And he does it on all different kinds of levels. All different kinds of levels. I told this story one time. Some of you have probably heard it. I've used it in another sermon, but it goes exactly with what I'm talking about here. Satan will come at you in all different kinds of directions and all different kinds of forms. We need to be alert 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a story of a wonderful little elderly Christian lady. She had very little money and lived in a rundown house, but she was always praising God for everything that she had and everything that happened in her life. Her only problem was with the old man who lived next door. He was always trying to prove to her that there was no God. He was an atheist. One day, as the old man was walking by her house, he noticed the woman through an open window. She was kneeling down in prayer, so he crept over to the window to see if he could hear what she was praying. She was praying, Lord, you've always given me what I needed, and now you know that I don't have any money, and I am completely out of groceries, and I won't get another check for another week. She continued, somehow, Lord, can you get me some groceries? The man had heard all he needed to hear. He crept away from the window and ran down to the grocery store. He bought milk, bread, and lunch meat. He ran back to the woman's house carrying the groceries. He set the bag down on by her door, rang the doorbell, and hid beside the house. You can imagine how the woman reacted seeing the bag of groceries sitting there on her front step. Thank you, Jesus, she shouted. I was without food and you provided groceries. About that time, the old man jumped out and said, aha, I've got you now. She was too busy shouting thank you to Jesus to pay any attention. I told you there was no God, the old man said. It wasn't Jesus who gave you those groceries. It was me who brought you those groceries. Oh no, the woman said, Jesus got me these groceries and he made the devil pay for it. You see, she had the right attitude for God. This woman was obviously not intimidated by Satan and his activity. We can't afford to be intimidated by the enemy, people. For so many generations and too many decades, Christian people have coddled and fallen away and letting Satan have his way. We have not stood up and fight. We have been intimidated. There was a time where the Christian churches had nights during the week where they would go knock on the doors of their neighbors. This church did it, I know, because I heard stories about it. The Waterford Church of Christ used to go and knock on doors Invite people to church. Invite them, introduce themselves and say, hey, I'm Joel Cassetto. I belong to the Waterford Church of Christ. We're having a special Bible study night. We'd like you to come. No pressure. I think you'll have a good time. Those nights happened, didn't they? That's what I was told. Generation after generation become more and more intimidated to the point we are scared to death what's going to happen when we knock on that door. They're not going to like me. They're going to slam the door in my face. I'm going to be the outcast of all my neighbors. I don't want to be the one at work that talks about Jesus, because then everybody's going to look at me funny or look at me different. Do you remember what Jesus did for you? Do you remember the pit that Jesus pulled you out of, and you're worried about a neighbor you probably don't even know what they're going to say when you knock on the door? Or the coworker at work who desperately needs Jesus Christ in his or her life, and you're worried about your reputation at work? You have a God that gave everything for you. Why are you intimidated by the enemy? Why do you think we have such outlandish laws in this country? Because Christians were intimidated and did nothing. It has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats. There's evil on both sides of the both parties. There's evil. There's righteous on both sides. But it comes down to the Christian church. What did we do? What did we do to fight abortion? What did we do to fight gay marriage? What did we do to fight any of these issues? Now we're just yelling about and screaming about and doing nothing really about. We allowed the enemy to intimidate us to the point where now he's doing it with our children. Sunday morning used to be sacred. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so that wasn't too far ago. There was no sports activities and no school activities on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or Sunday nights. There was no baseball games on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. There was no wrestling on Sunday morning, nothing. But then you started having slowly people who didn't know the Lord starting to be in charge and coaching and stuff like that. And you can't blame non-Christians for acting un-Christian. They don't. If you don't go to church on Sunday morning, you don't see it as a big deal. But we've allowed our kids now and be intimidated. Well, if my kid doesn't play on Sunday morning, well, he's not going to have an opportunity to play in junior high, and he's not going to be able to be the sports star in varsity basketball or football or baseball because they didn't play on Sunday morning. That's baloney. God will put your child exactly where he wants to put your child at just the right time. If your child's going to have a gift to play baseball and be a star, so be it. And God will open up doors of opportunity for him to be glorified through your child playing baseball, if that's what he wants to be. Not enough Christians have been made a stand and said, we will not be at the ball field on Sunday morning. I don't care if you are playing for the world championship of the entire world. We won't be there. We'll be at God's house worshiping. I've had to tell so many coaches in Joel and Reese's life, from elementary school to junior high. In high school, I let them speak for themselves and tell the coaches themselves. First thing, Reese signs up for basketball or baseball, whatever, I tell the coach, Reese will not be there on Sunday mornings. If you have practice, if you have a game, if you have a championship game on Sunday morning, Reese will not be there. Christians cannot be intimidated by the enemy. What do you think he's doing there? He's pulling the families apart from the house of worship on Sunday mornings. Most of our churches don't even have Wednesday night Bible study anymore because of all the things going on at school and sports activities. Whose idea do you think that was? It wasn't coaches and athletic directors. That slowly crept in by the enemy. And Christians did nothing. We got intimidated. Well, if my kid doesn't show up, then they're not going to get to. Your child's not going to have to explain to God how many championship baseball games they've won. Your child's going to have to stand before God someday and explain how they glorified God and made him number one in their lives. That's just another way that that the enemy has crept in. And we allow him to intimidate us. We need to step up. Refuse to be intimidated. If we put up an active, ongoing resistance to the devil, God promises. There is a promise there. He will flee. You resist the devil in anything, in your addiction, in your habit, whatever you want to call it, in your marriage, in your family, whatever goes against God, you resist it with everything you are in the power and under the name of Jesus Christ. You are promised Satan will flee from you. And you can win the victory in the name of Jesus. If we refuse to fight, he will continue to hold us, and he will continue to hold our community and our country around us captive. And you can watch it happening every single day. He holds our families captive. He holds our communities captive. He holds our workplaces. He holds our government sometimes captive. Because we will not stand up and fight the good fight that God has called us to fight. And go where Jesus has called us to go, to speak for those who can't speak for themselves, to be the voice that God's called us to be. We have been called to step up. If you read the rest of the verses 8 through 10, this is the big one. God calls us to step in. Step in. Verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I read this beautiful prayer that kind of went along with exactly what is being said here by Ken Geyer. It's in his book, Intimate Moments with the Savior. Some of you have probably read that book. Ken has this beautiful prayer in there. It has talking to God, and he says, help me to realize that it was not the healthy who reached out to you, Lord. They bunched up in crowds, but it was those who suffered greatly who reached out to you and grasped you. It was the people in the streets, not in the sitting rooms of society, that groped for your garment. It was needy people, people with outstretched arms, people with empty hands, people who had nothing to offer but the faith that you could make them whole. I confess, O Lord, how often I have followed in the crowd pressed around you. Yet how many times have those brushes with you changed my life? I have touched you, but only in the rush hour of religious activity. Sunday after Sunday, I take my part in the crowd. As I sit through the service, I sing the hymns, I hear the sermon, I read my Bible, I say my prayers, I give my money, I attend the right seminars, I tune into the right programs, I read the right books. How could I be so close to your presence, yet so far from your power? Could it be that my arms are folded? Could it be that my hands are full? I pray that if my arms are complacent, you would unfold them in outstretched longing for you. And if my hands are full, I pray that you would empty them so that I might cling only to you. What a beautiful prayer that goes right along with what we just read in verses 18 through 10. So how do we step in to get closer to God? That's the ultimate desire. To become a greater Christian, to become a greater church for his people, is to step in and have a closer relationship with God. I guarantee if I ask for a raise of hands and ask how many people here would like to have a closer relationship with God, I would think every one of you would raise your hand. Whether you've been walking with him for 1 year or walking with him for 70 years. We all want a closer walk with God. We've all been embarrassed by our lack of commitment to him at one time or another. We've all been embarrassed by letting Satan intimidate us when we have the most powerful force in all of creation on our side. Let me tell you how to get there. Let me tell you how to step in real quick. A few things. Number one, stay on top of the sin problem. Whatever your sin problem is, stay on top of it. Keep working at it. No matter how many times Satan slams you down, keep on it. Whatever it is that you struggle with, stay on top of that sin problem. If you need a mentor, if you need a helper, get him, get her to help you. If your problem is that you just don't find any time, zero time to spend with God every day, man, get on your hands and knees today and commit. I will spend some time with God today and every day this week. If you have a sin issue with money, with lust of the flesh, with eating, not eating, sleeping, not sleeping, overworking, underworking, whatever you struggle with, if you want a closer relationship with God, stay on top of the sin problem daily. Number two, have one motivation in life, only one, to glorify God. Only one thing is going to motivate me today. You need to tell yourself that every single day. I won't be motivated by pleasing my wife. I mean, all this stuff, don't get me wrong, this is going to all fall into place when we have the one motive in order. My number one motive is not to please Mary today. My number one motive is not to be the best dad I can be today. My number one motive is not to be the best preacher today. My number one motive is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I do that by being a good husband, by being a good father, by, you know, or trying to be those things. That's part of it. But you only can have one motivation to draw closer to God, and that has to be to glorify his name. What are you going to do? What are you not going to do sometimes? What are you going to say, or what are you not going to say that will bring glory to his name today? Number three, remain in the proper position in life. It was the first thing we talked about this morning. Allow God to be God. Tell yourself every day, God, or even tell God, God, you are God and I am not. God, you are in charge and I am not. God, may it be your voice that speaks through me. May it be your heart that beats in sync with my heart today. Or my heart sink in sync with your heart. May my actions be your actions. May my love for people be your love for people. May your compassion flow from me for other people. You do those three things and see if you don't draw closer to God. Stay on top of your sin problem. I mean, squash it. Sometimes we just need to quit telling other people what to do sometimes. And allow God to tell us what to do first. Be of one motivation. Man, everything. Glorify God. And put God in his proper place in your life, especially your schedule. And see if he doesn't draw closer to you just by doing those three things. Because I guarantee you the result, God will get closer to you. The more you do those three things and make them a habit every single day. I want to remind you of Psalm 145, verse 18. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Are you calling upon the name of Jesus every single day? I mean every day. In most moments of every day, in every life circumstance. Are you calling on his name? God promises right there. You call on my name, I will be close. He doesn't even say, I'll be listening, I'll be watching from heaven, I'll be watching from afar. You call on my name, I will be close. I will be right there with you. I will walk into the lion's den with you. I will walk right into the fiery furnace with you. Folks, let's be the greater church. Operating on God's greater grace. And let's begin building a greater community. And we have many communities represented just in these pews. We kind of worship in an area where we have people from three different counties and lots of different communities. We can be a huge impact on all those communities. Let's step down. Let's step up. And let's step in to a closer relationship with God. That's the invitation this morning. Every Sunday, if you listen to us and you come Sunday after Sunday, you know that you are invited every Sunday to start your relationship with God. If you've not knelt before God, confessed your sin before Him, decide to repent and turn away from that sin and make Him Lord of your life, acknowledge Him as God, we invite you to do that this morning. Run up here, we'll get you baptized in His baptism, and we'll start your whole life renewed in His name. For the rest of us, or I should say for most of us, who have already given our lives to Jesus. Man, what an opportunity we've been called to do this morning. And I'd like to say three simple things, but they're not. If they were simple, we'd all be doing it. And we'd have greater communities. We'd have greater churches. We'd have greater family life because of the individuals in our families. We need to actively be doing the things that God's called us to do in these few verses in James. Go back this week, read those verses, be reminded of what the Holy Spirit has called you to do at home, at church, and in your community, in your workplace, and see if God doesn't start creating greater Christians, greater churches, and greater community. Let it start with you. Let it start with us, the Waterford Church of Christ, and pay attention to what God would have you do. We're going to sing a most excellent invitation song this morning. Crown Him with many crowns. Let's tell God how big He is. Let's tell Him how much we love Him. And let's make sure He knows He is number one in our life. And if you need to make a decision for Him, we invite you. Come here. Come up to here. And let us pray with you. Let us be your help, your mentor, whatever you need us to be as a church, to get you into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing, Crown Him with Many Crowns.